This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the People Speak Radio. The People Speak is back. Here at the People Speak, we believe that when we do speak out, we make a difference. Happy belated New Year to everyone, and I hope this is going to be a fantastical year for everybody. We're starting off our listening season with a controversy that's been raging for quite some time now. Smart meters, what are they? Why are they at the middle of a controversy? And our guest tonight, Sandy Maurer, is very, very involved in this this controversy. And hi, Sandy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Smart meters, what are they?
Well, they have other names. One of them is called AMR or AMI meters. They are wireless meters, and depending on which state you live in, which utility provider you have, they're using different technology. Many of them are using similar technology, and I'm in California, and so we have PG&E as our utility provider, and the meters that PG&E is using are transmitting wireless pulsed radiation 24/7, and they said at first that it was just a signal every hour, or sometimes they'd say it's just one signal at midnight, but the fact is now they've admitted that it's 10,000 pulses or more per meter per day. And the way they work is they transmit in what's called a mesh network, so it's not just sending your data once a month to the utility, because basically they've gotten rid of the meter readers. So the meters replace the meter readers.
So these are in place of, first of all, that's another problem. So these actually replace human jobs.
Exactly. In California, mm-hmm. I know that in PG&E territory, they've captured about over 500 jobs.
Wow, that's a lot of jobs.
The trouble with that also is that meter readers are part of the safety team, and they're trained to recognize safety problems. So I think it's a problem when you lose a meter reader.
Well, when you're talking about safety concerns, I have read that there have been a number of fires that have been attributed to these meters. Sandy, can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I have been collecting fire stories, and I have them posted on the website, and you can find them at www.emfsafetynetwork.org, and there is a compilation there on many of the fires that are reported from around the world, including Canada, Australia, Florida, Texas, and California. And it seems that as soon as these meters start rolling out in an area, we start hearing stories about fire problems. And my recent awareness and suspicion is that it's the installation of the meters and the improper installations that are causing arcing and causing meters to explode or causing fires in the home because the improper connection of the meter to the electricity. And sometimes when you have older home and older wiring, it can't handle the smart meter because smart meter is 240, and some homes aren't set up for that. Some homes aren't properly grounded, and so we've been collecting a lot of the stories on these fires. It's a big fire hazard. California PG&E has not admitted that there's a problem with fires, but other places like in Florida and Texas, they have. In Australia, they have admitted it.
And Sandy, they've traced these fires directly to the meters themselves, or in response to what the meter is generating?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the homeowner, they're going to tell you it was the smart meter. If you talk to the utility, they're going to say it was the homeowner's wiring.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one.
No,
now,
but recently, excuse me, there was an investigation in Australia, and the investigators, they said that possibly it was linked to the installations. So if you have four screws and one of those screws isn't properly fitted, you're going to be allowing more current through that meter into the home's electricity. And that's where the problem happens.
I see. So it's okay. So it's a little bit of both. It's the combination of the two coming together for whatever reason.
Yeah, or not coming together because it's
or not coming together. I see.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you something, Sandy. I understand that these things are transmitting information and pulsing these energy. I mean, are they specifically for wireless network technology? Is that all they're being used for? What if I don't have wireless? What if I don't want to? I know a lot of people that don't have computers in their homes.
Right.
So is that what these are specifically used for?
Well, I believe the main reason that they wanted the smart meters is because this is like a $900 billion project, you know, nationwide. And so the utilities are going to be making a lot of money. There's a lot of money to be made by doing what they call upgrading the grid, by putting new meters on homes. And customers pay for this. So per meter in California, each customer is paying about $270 per meter. And that's put back into the rates and then averaged out over 20 years or so. So it's not that noticeable in terms of a rate hike, but the rate hike is there. We've paid for it. Customers pay for the entire, what they call, upgrade to the grid. And so what was your question? I forgot where I was going with that.
Oh, no, I was asking, is this wireless information, maybe I don't have a computer and I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
Am I forced to pay part of that upgrade, that cost factor based on?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, if you have a utility company that is transitioning to smart meters, then the rates are decided by the Public Utilities Commission in your state,
mm-hmm.
and they approve these programs, and then every single customer gets one and has to pay for it.
Even if you don't have a computer or don't want to use it.
In California, you can opt out of the program. However,
but that doesn't seem to make much sense. I mean, if these meters are set up on a grid, you know, how do you take something out of a grid and expect it to work the way the grid is intended to work?
It's a very, very, very poorly designed program. Very, you know, there was seems like no thought at all about the health implications of pulsed radiation, the fact that there's been 30 years of studies to the health effects of radiation, and there was just something that they figured out on paper that they thought sounded good and that they'd make money on and they'd sell it to the public as a way of the public being able to better manage their energy.
Now, Sandy, you say that there's a lot of health problems that have been manifesting. Can you tell me something about them?
Well, probably the number one complaint of people who have a smart meter on their home would be sleep problems, followed closely by headaches, ringing in the ears, irritability and stress, and then heart problems.
Well, leading to cardiac problems as well. That's interesting. And have there been any studies as to why these things are occurring? I mean, and have you proven the connection between these?
There are thousands of studies that have looked at electromagnetic fields and radiation on the body, yes. And although the industry side will say, well, this isn't conclusive, we have so much evidence. And I have a lot of this posted on the EMF Safety Network, the studies. And recently, the top public health official in Santa Cruz County, at the request of their Board of Supervisors in California, put together a report and said that smart meters do pose a health risk. And also the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has called on the California Public Utilities Commission for a halt to the rollout.
Now, I see here that the World Health Organization declared non-ionizing radiation of the kind emitted by smart meters considered a Class 2B carcinogen and has contributed to some types of brain tumors. Is this... Do you have any information on that and how far those studies have gone?
That was declared back in May of 2011. And so a Class 2B carcinogen means that it's not safe. And that's the same classification as DDT and lead. And the bigger picture is that smart meters emit a Class 2B radiation. So do cell phones. So do DECT phones. So do Wi-Fi routers. And so the bigger problem is that we have public and cell towers. We have, you know, an increasing amount of public exposures to wireless radiation, and smart meters are going on every home in a mandatory way. We need to stop this hazard. If we wouldn't allow lead to be painted everywhere or DDT to be sprayed everywhere, but it's going to take some time, unfortunately, because people love their gadgets and their cell phones. It's going to take time for people to recognize that it is a hazard, and because also the industry has so much money and so much influence here. They spend billions of dollars on lobbying and advertising and have really sold the public doubt that there's a problem here.
Well, I find that I absolutely believe that there is a problem with these kind of emissions. But I sit here and I think to myself, look at us as a community here with our smoking. We have evidence that it destroys your health. We have, we have physical manifestations. You have coughing, wheezing, problems breathing and sleeping, and all the gambit of things that could happen. And we still smoke. I can't imagine how we're going to convince people that something that is non-visible to them, that for all intents and purposes, nobody would even know was around unless you got sick and really had to work. I mean, how would you even know that it was your smart meter that may be causing your problems?
Well, the way people are recognizing that it is the smart meter is that when they go away from it, say this, a woman, I just got an email today, a woman in her home having terrible headaches, where she'd go to work, and the headaches would disappear. She'd come home, and the headaches would come back. So it's people recognizing that when they get away from the source, they feel better. And when they're closer to the source, the symptoms keep returning.
What other symptomology would people look for in this, Sandy?
Well, let's say, for example, someone who's having sleeping problems. If they could do a test by reducing their exposure in their home. For example, they could unplug their Wi-Fi router when they went to sleep. They could unplug their cordless phones. They could turn off their cell phones and other wireless devices that they have in the home and see how they feel. It's really a matter of recognizing how you feel in your own body.
Well, a lot of people are not are pretty poor judges of that. Unfortunately, look at our the health condition of the society in America today.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me ask you, Sandy. How did you get involved in this? Or have you had personal experience with these meters as far as your health or anything?
Well, I started on this journey about 5 years ago, and I was having a lot of trouble with my immune system. And mm-hmm. my doctor told me, he said, you need to strengthen your immune system. And I've always been into health and organic foods and eating well, and I've done chiropractic and acupuncture. I've done all different kinds of non-traditional healing. But when it came to strengthening my immune system, I really wasn't sure how to do that, and it seemed to me that that was a really hard thing to do. And I knew a man who did EMF testing, and I had worked with him before, but we had been living in this one house for about 6 years, and I hadn't had it tested. So I called him, and I said, can you come test my house? And so he did, and he said, you have pretty high EMF in your home, and that was mainly from indoor wiring and from appliances with front-facing digital readouts, and we had a very small kitchen with a lot of appliances in it, And so I asked him, I said, do you think that if I reduce my exposure to this, that it would help my immune system, or do you think this has anything to do with my problems? And he said, yeah, I do. And so at that moment, I said to him, tell me what I need to do. How do I need to reduce? Because I want to find out. I won't do anything. I'm not going to try any new diet or anything. I just want to see if this is true. So he said, you turn off at your breaker box, which manages your electricity home. He said, figure out what the least you need in the home and then turn the rest off at the breaker box. So we turned off the bedrooms right away and then eventually learned to turn off 10 out of 12 of our breakers are off. And we turn things on when we need them. If I need the washer and dryer, I turn on the breaker. So, but most of the time we're living in really reduced electric fields in the home. And my health just rebounded in such an amazing way. It was really quite shocking. And a lot of the symptoms that I had, pale skin, just bone tired, I just started getting my energy back, and I just started feeling better. And some of the problems that I had with my speech was sort of messed up, like I would lose my train of thought, and a lot of things cleared up. And it really convinced me that there was something to it, that EMFs do affect your health and can lead to cancer and other problems. And so after I had this experiment and recognized that it really, that I was able to recover my health, I was so shocked and happy at the same time because it really changed my life. But I wanted to study about it, so I made a promise to myself that I would study about it for a year before I went out and talked about it in public. And I did that. And I researched it, and when I first started researching the EMF health issue, what I found was a lot of, oh, this is no problem, EMFs are no problem. But as I kept digging and digging and digging, then I found so much evidence and a really big network of people who are electrically sensitive and who are educating the world about the health impacts of EMF and wireless technologies. And so after 1 year of research, I went to my city council meeting because they were voting on allowing a citywide Wi-Fi in the town. And I spoke to them, and I said, this isn't a good idea, and why? And I told them about my research, and they voted unanimously to approve it. So that became my sort of political entrance into bringing this issue to the attention of the decision-makers on a political level. And after 4 months, we actually defeated the citywide Wi-Fi program in our town. And it actually really made a lot of people mad because they couldn't believe that it was true that this had health impacts. And so that's the answer.
Well, you know, all right, given the nature, and you said it yourself, we live in a society of technology today, our phones, I mean, everything. I mean, I have a remote control I can barely figure out. So how do we get around that? We can't change it. Changing the nature of the delivery system doesn't change the fact that we have all these products out there. People are buying them. They've got to have access somehow. Are there alternatives to the smart meters?
Absolutely.
And what are they?
Well, the analog meters work just fine. We don't need the smart meters. And there's so many other problems with smart meters, including privacy and security. And so the antidote for the wireless problem is keeping information on wires. We can have corded phones. We can have wired routers. We can have wired internet. It doesn't have to be wireless. Wireless has just exploded in the last 10 years, and it's made companies a lot of money, but it's not necessary to have wireless to have communication.
Now, I've read also and heard that these electronic emissions due to the Wi-Fi phenomena that has taken over has affected our birds, affected the bees, and adversely affected mankind in many ways. Some people believe that that's why the bees are disappearing due to these waves. Have you any evidence to show that there's a connection there?
There was a study recently by a man named Favre, Favre, and he noted that that it did affect the bees. And there have been studies on the wireless effects of trees from cell towers, and these kind of studies. We really need more studies on the on radiation effects on the environment.
Fascinating. That's kind of scary. I mean, in and of itself. Now, there's one other thing that I. We have a question here from one of our audience members, and we usually like to put those in when we can. Frank in Canada, it would like to know from you, Sandy, I've heard smart meters are capable of sweeping intrusions of our activities at home. Are you aware of any technology that might defeat this capacity?
I am not aware of any technology that would inhibit smart meters from knowing what you were doing in your home. Because
what he means is there's some kind of an interruption that you can that can be used, a system that can interrupt that.
Where you're disrupting the signal.
Yeah.
I think any other wireless device that had a strong signal, you could probably put that close to the smart meter to try and interfere with the transmissions of the smart meter, but I don't know. I don't know anyone who's tried that. That's one of the big problems with the smart meters is that they're also causing interference with other wireless devices for people in their homes, and there's a huge security risk with sending this information from your home, what time you watched TV, what time you cooked your dinner, did you get up in the middle of the night? And then they're transmitting this data wirelessly. And it's very insecure, and it's a hazard.
And people can tap into it.
It's hackable. Yeah.
Now here's an interesting one. This is like something that if you don't care about your health, let's see if you care about your pocketbook. A couple in Chicago went to court with a complaint against these state regulators, which is what they're called, the PG&E. Their PG&E bill tripled in December of 2009 because of the inaccurate readings of these meters.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they did the wife was very into it and did a really comprehensive study, and they actually took it to court.
Uh-huh. I know there was a case before the Public Utilities Commission in California where the couple won. I think it was $1,400. And
yeah.
Then finally PG&E admitted, oh, yeah, well, there was several thousand meters that really weren't functioning right. And this came out after the Public Utilities Commission had spent $1 million on what was called the structure report that came out and said there was not even one problem. And then after the fact, they said, oh, yeah, well, I guess there was some problems. So they were going to refund people something like $25. I mean, it was the stories that I've heard around the skyrocketing bills that people have gotten, you know, where their bill used to be $60, $75, and then they're getting a bill for over $1,000. I've heard that many times.
Sounds fascinating. But, man, I don't know about anybody else, but I think they were talking about their bill at one time reached about an average of $500 a month. I definitely have some issues with the smart meter that did that. It'd be pretty stupid to live around me. Let me ask you, how much does a smart meter emit more radiation than, say, a cell phone?
Well, the difference between a smart meter and a cell phone, and I would say it does. Yes, it does. And a smart meter, at least PG&E smart meters, are constantly transmitting. Now, a cell phone that is turned on is also transmitting because it, especially the new smart meters. The new smartphones. What I understand about them is that they can be used as repeaters for a network of other smartphones. But a person has an opportunity to turn
I'm not
that
sure
off.
If I under, I'm not a, sure if I understand what that meant, what you meant by that. What is the repeater?
Where if it's sort of like a smartphone can use somebody else's smartphone as a tower, as a relay to a tower.
Oh, okay. I see.
So but you have a choice to turn it off. And you have a choice to use that device in a smart way, which might be you might carry it in your purse turned off, you might check your messages, and then turn it back off and put it back in your purse. With the smart meter, it is forced onto your home against your will if you didn't want it. At least in California, it's been mandatory up until recently where we did win the opt-out. So it's forced onto your home whether you want it or not, and it's constantly transmitting. You can't turn it off. And so for some people, they've actually had to they've lost part of their home because they can't be so near the they can't be near the meter because it's making them sick. One woman talked about how when she was sitting at a certain spot in her living room, which was close to the utility meter, her heart was skipping beats. And then when she was in another part of her house, it wouldn't do that. So she basically couldn't stay in her living room. And for people who sleep next to breaker boxes or utility meters, this is the worst place to sleep.
Well, we have one more question, but I think we might take a break for a little for a couple of minutes and get some of our sponsor ads in.
Sure.
So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sandy Maurer on smart meters, why we should not, probably not a great idea to have them around. And thanks. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the world for love.
Hi. Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
This land is your land. This land is
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is Basma Farhat from The People Speak. We have with us tonight Sandy Maurer talking about smart meters and why they're probably not the best thing that has come around the block these days. Hi, Sandy. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Sandy, we've talked about a lot of things. One of the things that I'd like to, you know, offer my audience is, what can they do about smart meters? I keep wanting to call them smartphones. What can we do about smart meters? These things are coming up all over the country. You even looked up online just before we started the show here in Michigan. In my neck of the woods, there are 3 websites in local areas that are speaking out against these things. They're everywhere. We've talked about Chicago, California. What can people do?
Well, I think the best case scenario is if people in a state that don't have smart meters yet can go to their utility and find out if it's being planned. And if it's being planned, then lobby the utility and lobby the Public Utilities Commission. There'll be one Public Utilities Commission in each state, and lobby them and get involved in that level to reject them before they even get started. There are so many problems with smart meters that it's in California we're seeing. The biggest problems. California was one of the first states to roll them out, and Maine also. In both states, been a huge public backlash. You cannot force these, you know, these pulsed radiation smart meters on people's homes. At least 3% of the public is electrosensitive. This type of pulsed radiation has been used in weaponry, and it is known to cause health impacts, including tinnitus, which is the ringing in the ears, and sleep problems, and even seizures. And the military has done studies on this. In fact, the military uses pulsed radiation in a weapon to control a crowd where they can shoot them with this and make them feel like they're on fire. Electromagnetic pulsed radiation. So this is similar technology in the smart meter. And there are so many problems: health, privacy, security, fires, explosions. And until what we need is we need to go back to the analogs. That it's just the analogs is a superior technology. So my question was, I'm sorry.
I was saying it would certainly seem so from everything we've been hearing.
So what can people do? The best case is if you don't have them and you can lobby your utility and lobby your Public Utilities Commission. And don't be fooled by different names, because once they found out that the backlash against smart meters was happening, they started changing the names. They're calling them AMR meters or AMI meters, or making up other names for the meters, because smart meters have gotten such a bad name. So there's 25 states that I've heard this recently. 25 states do actually have a smart meter program. So consumers who are in a state where they're already rolling out these meters, they need to start lobbying the Public Utilities Commission, start educating their neighbors, and many websites have started to educate the public about this. And then the first step is to demand the right not to have one. This is a huge consumer rights issue, that this should not be forced on people's homes. And so on the EMF Safety Network, it's emfsafetynetwork.org, on the website under Take Action, I have a list of smart meter websites across the United States and a couple in Canada, one in Australia.
Well, why don't we hold off on those, on some of those for just a minute? We do have a caller on the line that has a caller. Can you please state your name and where you're calling from?
Thank you very much. It's Mike in California. Sandy, you know, I have a friend in the U.K., and she says that she read that by 2020, every home there will have a smart meter installed. So it's not just a thing particular to the United States. It's evidently going worldwide, evidently to all the first world countries. And my question to you was, are there any friendly anti-smart meters congressmen or senators? Because, you know, I was under the impression that a lot of these corporations control our Congress. Are there any that are standing up for the people and opposing them? You know, because if you call the electric company or the power companies, they tell you they have their own team of experts that say that these meters are safe.
Exactly.
You know, have they convinced Congress of that?
I don't know. We've been really focused on California, and so I'm just keeping my ears open for what's going on in the rest of the United States and a little bit in other parts of the world. But I do want to say that in the United Kingdom and the UK, they have come out and stated that they will not make smart meters mandatory. And that came out last week. So that's a good news for Europe. The answer is I don't know if there are friendly anti-smart meter congressmen.
My follow-up question is, you say that in the UK they will not make it mandatory. Will there be penalty fees, or will those that don't have them installed have to pay some kind of service charge? You know, I mean, there's a way they can force you financially to take them in if you don't have much money, it seems like.
Mike, I don't know about that, and that brings me to the comment about, for listeners who are from California, especially PG&E territory, the Public Utilities Commission just approved an opt-out program that people could have their analog meters back, and they've attached a fee to that of $75. It's what's called an interim fee. It's basically not based on anything. There's been no cost evaluation, so they sort of just pulled that number out of a hat. Said you have to pay $75 to get the meter off your house or to keep your analog meter, and then $10 a month for meter reading fees. But I want the public to know that those fees are arbitrary and punitive, and they will be reviewed at the PUC. There will be more hearings and more proceedings on that, so those aren't final fees.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And we're going to be pushing for the shareholders to pay. And the Utility Reform Network will also be pushing for shareholders to pay for this, because this was forced on the public. And the cost to opt out should have been included in the rollout. They should never have made this mandatory. The federal government didn't make it mandatory, and California shouldn't have done that.
Sandy, we have a question from one of our audience, and they're asking, are there tools available to the public to analyze the waves coming off of these meters?
There are, and there's different types of meters. I don't think you're going to catch the actual peak pulse unless you're actually, I have been told, Cindy Sage, she's one of our advisors, she says there aren't any meters that are calibrated to catch the millisecond pulse, because these pulses are in the millisecond range between 2 and 20 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. But you can catch the frequency, so you can catch how often they're transmitting, but not necessarily the peak pulse. That's my understanding anyway. And there are websites like lessemf.com that sells RF equipment to measure.
And are there wired smart meter options available to the customer base?
Well, I think that if the utilities had started out with a fiber optic version, I don't think I would even be in this position that I'm in now. But now being in the position that I am, and I've learned about privacy risks of having a smart meter on my home, I wouldn't even want a fiber optic smart meter, because that meter is going to be recording everything you do all day long and, you know, constantly. And they, some researchers in Germany found out that they can even tell what TV program you're watching. And
wow.
they also have the responsibility to turn that information over to the authorities if it was called upon in a search.
Brother is looking around your shoulder.
Yeah, it's a type of surveillance. The meters are surveillance meters. Using the data to surveil the home.
That is so frightening.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. And they can tell what time you've done what. And a wonderful video online by a man named Jerry Day. He's out of Burbank, and he's got a YouTube online, and he's already got over 1 million hits. I don't know where it is now, but he really spells out the privacy risk.
And well, I can imagine it must be terrifying. I've heard, and obviously I don't know anybody around that's ever been a victim of it, so I can't corroborate it, but that people are very vulnerable just from the wireless system. I mean, somebody can actually tap into your system as they're driving by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have an entire, technically, a city that is vulnerable to that very kind of tapping. Mm-hmm. It's pretty scary,
major,
I would think.
Major security risk. And these meters were supposed to be secure, and they are not.
Is there any kind of I know that you are working in California. I know that we've got there's websites in Michigan. Is there any kind of an umbrella that you guys are working under together to see if you can lobby in Congress for against these?
Well, we at this point we don't have a national coalition. There are many, many, many groups, and it is the next step that our movement could take. We have more than a dozen groups in California alone fighting this, and it's a necessary next step.
And what are your plans for exposing this danger to people out in the communities in the next year?
I am what's called an intervener at the California Public Utilities Commission, so I'm working on the administrative end of this problem, and we're working on getting the shareholders to pay for the cost of the opt-out. Like I said earlier, that there's a fee right now associated with opting out, and we're going to try to get rid of that, as well as warn people and try to help people to recognize if they are having health symptoms, that there is a possibility that could be from the meter that they was put on their home. And then getting doctors involved in this, and just bringing more of the science, more of the doctors in to the movement. And, you know, the one thing that I didn't talk about was the failure of the FCC safety standards. They're not safety standards. They're really guidelines for thermal exposures. That means the level at which you're going to cook. And that's very, very dangerous.
Wow.
And so what they're saying is that smart meters are only a small percentage of that level at which you're going to cook. But it doesn't address the 24/7 exposures year after year after year. The FCC safety standards, the fact is the FCC is not a health agency. These are safety guidelines for thermal exposures. And they apply, and the industry, the wireless industry, has used these FCC guidelines as the benchmark for safety, and they have nothing to do with 24/7 exposures. And they were also set for a military man with a big head, like your healthiest military man on the planet with a big head, and they said, okay, well, that level, that will affect that person. They're not set for children. They're not set for pregnant women. And they're not set for people living next to cell towers or sleeping next to a decked phone. They're And the industry has used this FCC safety guideline as a way to make people like me wrong and say, oh no, this is safe. There is no safety in that.
So, Sandy, can you please put out your website to our listening audience so that people can go and try to get more information about this issue?
Yeah, the website is www.emfsafetynetwork.org.
And what kind of information can they expect to see on that site?
Well, right now on the homepage, we've got some great information from a new report on the hazards of cell phones and a call for precaution from a Yale professor and doctor and an environmental group. And there's a study on smart meters from the public health official in Santa Cruz County that where she's saying they do pose a health risk. There's also the letter from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. That's a physician society. There's ideas, information, all kinds of information here on this website. There's ideas for how to approach a local planning commission or city council if you want to fight a cell tower, or on the safety tips on how to reduce your risk of health problems from EMFs. And I wanted to tell your audience, your listeners, that if you use a cell phone, the studies are finding that after 10 years of 30 minutes of cell phone use on the same side of the head, you're increasing your risk for brain cancer by about 40%. And that's from some of the studies done by Leonard Hardell in Sweden. And also, if you started before you were 17, the risk is I think it's 5 times greater. And
I absolutely believe that. I know that for about a year, I had been really attached and falling in love with my the earbud that you use. What is that called? Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And I started to realize that I had a severe and sharp pain on the inside of my ear all the time.
Wow.
And I just stopped using it. I just said, forget it. It's just not worth it.
Did the pain go away?
Eventually it subsided and went away every once in a while. But I'll have to tell you, that ear is more sensitive to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we'll have to look for.
Yeah, and that's how people can know is by stopping whatever it is they're doing. Like you said, how do you know if you're electrically sensitive? How do you know if these things are bothering you? Get away from it and find out. And
Well, exactly. And eventually the pain in my ear did subside. I still tend to feel that it's more sensitive on that side than my left side. So, but I watch it and, you know, I've gotten a couple of checkups here and there and everything seems to be okay. But I mean, I wasn't comfortable with wearing the earphone anymore.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
Here we go, folks. The website again, Sandy?
It's www.emfsafetynetwork.org.
Go to the site. Please read up on this issue. I think the controversy is certainly going to grow throughout the year. I can't tell you how many millions of these things are going to be going up all over the country, all over the world. And you may want to stop it before it gets started. So let's see what we can do about this. Sandy, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you very much for being our guest tonight. Very interesting subject matter. And very, and I think everybody should be concerned about this.
Thank you for having me, Basima.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Okay, that's a wrap for tonight, folks. Let it be known, when the people speak, we make a difference. The parents of Rachel Corey will be our guests next week. They will be our Valentines on Valentine's Day. And I look forward to talking with them and seeing how things have progressed in achieving justice for their daughter, Rachel. Thank you very much, everyone. Good night, and let the people speak.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the stable, by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.